Welcome to another episode of Navigating No Contact with Toxic Parents. I'm your host, Tracy Principe. So today, I am going to just talk about why it's so hard to go no contact and kind of break it down for you. So before I get into that, if you would like to leave me a review on iTunes or anywhere else this podcast is that you're listening from, I would greatly appreciate that. Leave me a review if you love this podcast. If you find this information helpful, I would love that because it helps my ranking. So that would be super great if you would do that for me. And if you are not in the Facebook group, I invite you to check it out, Navigating No Contact with Toxic Parents, the Facebook group, a wonderful supportive group. And feel free to join. All right, so today I want to dive into why it's so hard to go no contact. And everything that goes with that, right? It's really complex and layered. So this is for you if you're struggling with no contact, low contact, maybe you get sucked back in, you know, that loop, that trauma bond, you get sucked back in, right? It's not much different than an intimate partner relationship where these same types of scenarios play out, right? And that's that codependent trauma bond with your parents, okay? And I see that this is really, really common, really common. I see it a lot. However, I do want to mention that there's also the parents that are the ignoring type, and I didn't have that codependent trauma bond with my mother. And I know that's not the norm, but that wasn't my experience. But so I want to acknowledge also, while I see the codependent trauma bond most of the time, there are those people like me. I know there's a few of us that had a different experience, had the ignoring mother or parent, right? The extreme neglect, right? The mother that we never really bonded with, I always felt I didn't love my mom. I literally didn't love my mom, and I thought it was me, of course, right? But she never bonded with me. And she's told me that, and she's told me some horror stories of just leaving me alone for days as a baby, right? So, and never, I don't know, picked me up. Pretty scary. So yeah, so there is that as well. So just wanted to add that in. So other areas of your life and relationships are suffering, usually, and most definitely, you know, so making that connection, again, back to your family of origin is really important. And then you've got those distressing thoughts, the ruminating thoughts, the nightmares, or other CPTSD-like symptoms, the internal conflict and struggle, the guilt and shame, and this consumes you. It probably consumes you, and it sends you down the shame spiral or the trauma vortex, as we call it in somatic experiencing, that spiraling, which is just yucky, right? Spiraling into a depression and self-loathing. And that's when, you know, you might use a substance or food or something else to try to self-soothe is really what you're trying to do. So all of that, and you just can't, you know, you just can't find peace or freedom no matter what you do, right? Have you ever felt like that? Maybe you feel like that now. So I want you to know that there's nothing wrong with you. You're not alone. Your nervous system and your body and everything that you got wired for is, perfectly normal, and it's not your fault. it's not your fault. Okay? So why no contact? Because there's a couple of reasons. There's no cure for narcissistic personality disorder or any other personality disorder that your parent, your mom, your dad, your caregiver might have. And whether they're diagnosed or undiagnosed, right? It doesn't really matter. The point is that they, you know, they have no self, they have no ability for self-reflection or self-awareness or emotional intelligence, because that whatever they've got going on is blocking them from that. So narcissists or whatever are not born but created in their own traumatic childhoods, right? So they had their own trauma that they're just passing down, intergenerational trauma just being passed down. However, we don't want to fall in that trap of, again, being codependent. And they will use this as an excuse of, oh, well, or another family member, an enabling family member, also codependent, will also might use that as an excuse. Well, they had trauma, you know, they had a really tough childhood. So, you know, you should give them a break or, you know, look past it or whatever. So, yes, maybe that's true that they had a tough childhood and they had trauma. However, it does not give them the green light to unleash that and project that onto you and that you're supposed to take it. No, absolutely not. Right? So, you know, everyone is an adult, including your parents, and there's things like therapy and 12-step programs and whatever they, you know, whatever they need. That's, you know, 12-step programs are free. There is help. And so that is not an excuse to stay in relationship with them. So your toxic parents are abusive no matter what they have, right? So again, it's not an excuse to unleash their vitriol onto you and that you are supposed to stay in relationship and take that. So those behaviors, those traits, you know, the manipulation, the anger outbursts that they have, addictions, mental health issues, on and on, whatever they have, they've got a lot of things. It's not just one thing. It's a lot of things. And it's accumulated. Again, it's accumulated because they've never gotten help. And typically over time, if things are unmanaged addictions, unmanaged mental health issues, it gets worse. There might seem like there's periods where it gets better, but it doesn't get better without real help. So they, you know, maybe they stayed sober for 30 days or on their own, right? No program. Or maybe, you know, if they had a mental illness, they can have periods where they seem to be functioning better than others. But that is the nature of mental illness and addictions or mental health issues. So that doesn't mean that they're well, right? It does not mean that they're well. So oftentimes we see those little glimmers of hope and it looks like they've changed or something, you know, and that is not the case, right? So really important to understand that we don't get in that, again, that cycle, that trap. And again, if you have fallen for that, don't beat yourself up. It's totally normal. You want to see, yeah, of course, you're looking for hope and change and acknowledgement. And maybe that one time they apologized or said something nice or whatever, but it never lasts. Okay? And it's a pattern. So their self-protection is so strong, so, so strong in their nervous system that they are going to do anything. They are going to hold on to that control and self-protect at all costs. All costs. And again, they're not aware of this, right? It's totally unconscious. So again, that trauma disconnects them from their bodies. But at the end of the day, they harmed you and they're still harming you. So you have permission to remove yourself, right? So if you can look at them objectively as an observer rather than somebody in the movie, right? You remove yourself, you get the clarity to see them and look at them, you know, you can see their trauma responses. How are they fight, flight, freezing, fawning, right? How are their trauma responses playing out? How are they projecting onto you? So why is this so damn effing hard? Because you got wired for instability and a lack of safety. You got wired for instability and a lack of safety. Most people will say that, you know, they were walking on eggshells, and they're still walking on eggshells, right? And again, you got wired for walking on eggshells, and your nervous system, that's what your nervous system is still doing, right? So you got wired for feeling not good enough, feeling unlovable, low self-esteem, low self-worth, because again, you didn't get what you needed, which was somebody, you know, offering support and regulation and emotional stability, right? You got wired for unsafe experiences. So those things, so the things that are actually safe don't feel safe to your nervous system. And this is a big one. So this is why people will say things, you know, get into toxic relationships, but they stay because that is actually, that actually feels safe to your system, to your nervous system, because it's familiar, rather than going into something that doesn't feel safe. So if you've ever had that situation where a nice person was paying attention to you or being nice, and it feels like, whoa, what's, wait a minute, you know, it was like you didn't trust that. That's because you haven't had that experience and you don't trust it, but you do trust what you know, which is chaos and walking on eggshells and instability, right? So that's, your nervous system gets wired for that, for what's familiar. And then oftentimes is what happens is we go and we seek that out in work environments, you know, jobs, friendships, pretty much every area and every nook and cranny of your life, relationships, right? You also got wired for compliance, obedience, and caretaking. And so that's where the people-pleasing comes in, the perfectionism. Those are really hardwired into us. And we can often explain it away by saying, oh, yeah, I enjoy helping people. I'm a really nice person. However, there's always a side where you feel resentful that you're doing everything or people are taking advantage of you. However, you're also not setting boundaries and you don't know what your needs are because you didn't have any needs. No needs, no wants, right? So where trauma creates no needs and no wants because it wasn't safe. And it still isn't safe. You could have the safest partner in the world right now and you could not feel safe to say what you need and want. And that's really common. So the cycle you can't get out of is much like a drug, okay? And you've probably heard me say this before. It is much like, it affects the same part of your brain, that risk, reward, punishment, right? And so it's much like a drug and a drug withdrawal. So there's that tension buildup, right? And then there is a blow up of whatever. And then there's a reconciliation, which usually includes the reconciliation is usually like the love bombing. So they might come with gifts or money, or they might even apologize at that point, right? Where it seems like there's hope because somehow they apologized momentarily, a faux apology, right? In that reconciliation. And then that's when you go back in. And then there's usually a honeymoon phase where things, oh wow, things are better. So sometimes people will say, yeah, that lasted, you know, a month or a couple months or even 6 months. And then then there's a tension buildup again, and then there's a blow up, and that cycle will go on for decades. So again, if that sounds familiar, you're going through that right now, it's really normal. And that is the hardest part to break because it is like a drug withdrawal. There is an actual withdrawal symptoms, and that's when, you know, you feel guilt. You'll feel good when you first do it. And you're like, yeah, I got this. And then the utter ick and guilt and despair come in, right? And if you've ever actually gotten clean and sober, which I have, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's that same exact thing. So that's why it's so damn hard, and that's why you still might be stuck in this, right? So trauma is stored in the body. That's the nervous system, fight, flight, freeze, fawn. The fourth F, fawn, is the people pleasing. That's the fight, flight, freeze, fawn responses. It's not a cognitive process. That's why talk therapy alone will not reach the part of the brain where the trauma is stored, right? Or the talk therapy isn't reaching the nervous system. So you have that lizard brain, the amygdala, right, that has been with us since the beginning of time, the dawn of time. That is, you know, and that is our survival. We need that survival system. So the problem is we live in modern day society with traumas. So if you think about a cat that has caught a little mouse, you know, and it's got the mouse, and then it's usually like batting it around and playing with it, and then you think, oh, the poor little mouse is dead. Okay, the cat gets up and walks away. It's kind of done with the mouse, and then a minute or two later, the mouse gets up and runs away, and you're surprised that the mouse was alive. I thought it was dead. That was the freeze shutdown response, right? Other animals do that as well. So that is a freeze shutdown. But the mouse or animal, whatever, gets up, shakes it off, and it goes on its way. It's not traumatized anymore by the cat. So we have the higher brain where we don't just get up and shake it off. We internalize and all of these things, right? So the only way, in my opinion, for deep lasting healing is to include your survival responses, your nervous system. And the only way I know how to do that is somatic experiencing. So most coaches, therapists, or whoever you're working with don't focus on the nervous system. They might do cognitive approaches. Coaches often focus on mindset and cognitive approaches. And some of those, you know, can certainly be helpful. But again, in my opinion, they don't go deep enough. Another thing that people don't focus on, coaches, therapists, or whoever you might working with, they're not focusing on the family of origin. That's the root cause of your pain, right? And why they don't do that? Because most people haven't dealt with this themselves, and it's a little, you know, uncomfortable place for them. And that's why even some of my clients have had therapists or others tell them that, hey, you should forgive your family, or you should try to work it out. And that's been a literal disaster and the worst advice anyone could ever give you, right? And so that I don't, I don't recommend reconciliation, because I know it rarely ever works, and it only leads to that strengthening and hardwiring that codependent enmeshment cycle that I see so many clients stuck in, and we work so hard to get out of it because it is such a hard thing to break. That is probably the number one thing I work with clients on, is that codependent enmeshed relationship with their parent. So for example, I had a client. She was completely in this codependent enmeshed relationship with her mother. And she didn't even realize that was a good relationship, right? Because that's what she grew up with, and it seemed normal. And that's what most of us come to think, that it's normal. And so this is where your parent, you've been parentified, you've been kind of thrown into a parent role, and your parent has just unloaded adult's problems onto you since you were a child, and you, of course, got wired for taking care of their emotional needs, and they put their emotional needs onto you as a child. Maybe they were friend-like instead of being a parent. Those kinds of things, especially if you come from an alcoholic or addict home. But I see this pretty much across the board. in this enmeshment, and then the worst part is breaking up with that. It's tremendously difficult with the guilt and all kinds of other feelings come up. So because she spent all her time enmeshed in that and didn't really see it for what it was, you know, her other relationships suffered greatly because all her time and energy was spent on, you know, caretaking her mother, doing the emotional labor of her mother, which she'd always done. But her, you know, she had her own children and family, and those relationships suffered. And usually those family members will say something like, hey, what, you know, what's going on? You're spending too much time with your mom, and then you're not really here, you're not present, right? So all of those things were happening, her work, you know, she was just exhausted, drained, depressed, anxiety, all the things, really ignoring herself, right? So in the work that we were doing together, she was able to set really firm boundaries and stick to them, which started to change the dynamic with her mother. Her mother didn't change, okay? Her mother didn't change, the dynamic changed. So by doing those things that she had never done before, setting really hard, firm boundaries, this is what I help clients with. It's not explaining, it's not justifying, none of that. It's super short, clear, concise boundaries that work, you know, that works really well. And then sticking to it, it forces that person to be in a different dynamic. The person doesn't change, because if there's an enabler, that person is still going to go along with that program, right? But my client changed. Her shifted, you know, what set boundaries, and then her mother had to respect those boundaries because the dynamic changed. She freed up more time to focus on herself and her own family. She was able to really pull out of a deep depression and anxious, you know, this anxious, depressive state. Again, that cycle that I talked about earlier. And then she was able to begin to ask for some support and start doing the things that she had put on the back burner, because all her time and attention was wrapped up in this codependent, enmeshed relationship. She was able to go back to school and do some other fun, even just creative projects that, you know, that really bring us joy, right? Like we lose that. We lose just even knowing what we like to do or what brings us joy when we're only in survival mode, right? So I'm going to ask you this. How would it feel in your body to experience life instead of living in survival mode? Like, what would that even feel like? And you might be saying, like, I don't know. And that's valid, absolutely, if you've never experienced, you know, most of us are in survival mode and we don't even know that there's another way. We just think that's the way it is, right? So how would it feel in your body to trust yourself? And that's another big one. How would it feel to set boundaries free of guilt and shame? How would it feel to not be triggered by your parents, right? Imagine that. How would it feel to not be triggered by your parents? How would it feel to have a deeper connection with yourself, right? Because when all your focus is on your parents, you don't even know who you are. How would it feel to have a deeper connection with a partner? Or maybe you avoid relationships, right? And you don't want to get into a relationship because you've had too many bad experiences, or you don't, you know, you just don't trust it or trust, you know, others. That's a big deal. We all deserve to feel loved and safe and protected. And knowing what it feels like to have that is really special. So, and just feeling seen, heard, and validated, how would that feel? And if you've never had or experienced those things, you might not know, right? You might not even know what that feels like. And that's totally, totally normal. So, Yeah. So I have some exciting news that I'm announcing right here on this podcast, and I think you're really going to love this. So I've been doing one-on-one work now, and my one-on-one is pretty full most of the time. I only have one or two spots available, and those get filled up. Those get grabbed as soon as I announce them. You know, hey, I have one or two spots available. Those get filled up immediately. And I can only take so many clients because I know that I never want to overload myself, because then I won't have the capacity to really be in a good co-regulated state to really help my clients. That's really important to me. So, you know, I have a limit on how many people I can see a day, right? And in order for me to be present and stay present. So this has been a year in the making. I'm announcing this right now. I have a 10-week online Navigating No Contact online course. 10-week course. I'm going to run it as a beta. I've never run it before. I'm looking for 10 people to join me, roughly 10, to join me in this experience, and then, you know, give me feedback on what, you know, does it need to be longer, shorter, what's missing, because it has taken me a year to think about putting this, what I do with my one-on-one and the transformation that they go through with the somatic work that I do. And it's just so incredible and amazing how can I help more people in making that an online course. So even with the nervous system regulation alone, which is what I start everyone with, that usually takes 8 to 10 sessions, and people see massive results just from that. So I made this 10 weeks, 10 modules. So what you get is one Zoom call a week. And then you get a private Facebook group that will just be for people in the course, right? Just people that paid for the course, nobody else. And then you get Q&A from me. Each week there is some worksheets and homework, if you want to call it that, that we'll be doing. So some of it is cognitive, but a lot of it is going to be experiential. So we're going to be doing the somatic work. And I also do internal family systems and brain spotting. Brain spotting is kind of like EMDR. It's a little different. So all of you get the benefit of three incredibly powerful practices and therapies in this therapeutic cohort. Okay, so we're going to start this October 1st. And our calls are, I'm in California, so our calls are going to be probably in the afternoon. October 1st, the course for 10 weeks, the beta price, $549 US. You can't beat that. The best part is, if you join now, you're going to get lifetime access to the course, and you'll be grandfathered into this course. So the next time I run it, or if I get the feedback and you guys tell me it needs to be longer, or what, you know, needs this and that, then you get the next better version, iteration, whatever iterations of it come along, and the price increases, which there will be, you will be grandfathered, grandmothered into it, so you will have that access for life unchanged. You can't beat that. So I just announced this in my group, and I already have 4 people that have signed up. And so I'm probably not going to take more than 10 people. So these are going to fly off pretty quickly. So if you want to get into this, I suggest you do it ASAP. We start October 1st. Today is the 22nd of September, the recording of this podcast. So what you can do is go to my Instagram page, and there is a link for the course description and the sign up. So you can find it there. Also in the Facebook group, it's in there, although that kind of gets buried. So I think I pinned it to the announcements in the Facebook group if you're in there. If you're not on any of those, you can always just email me at tracy@tracyprincipe.com. Just email me. If you're on my mailing list, you would have gotten that announcement as well. But yeah, DM me, email me, find me on social media. I think on this podcast there's even a place that you can message me. I'd love to have you in this course. If you know it's a yes, go ahead and sign up. If you have some questions or you're not sure, I have cleared my calendar this week to go ahead and get on my schedule, and I'm happy to have a conversation with you. I'd love to chat. So if you want to chat about it, book a convo. That is also my Instagram. It's a consult. Just book one of those. I'm Pacific time in California, and we can chat about it if you have questions or you're not sure if it's right for you. Okay? I would love to have you join. I'm so excited to announce this. There is nothing like this out there. Nothing. There's nothing on the planet like this. What I'm offering and what I'm going to put out to the world, and that's going to keep growing and helping people. I have big, big plans for this program. So I'd love to have you in my very, very, very first round. It would mean the world to me. All right, so I hope you found this episode helpful. Again, find me on Instagram, Facebook, or email me, website, www.tracyprincipe.com. All right, catch you guys next time. Thanks so much.